ripping on Brock. We're not. Brock's a good player. Good morning, everybody out there. Get after graveyard shift. I just wanted to give Spinotti another drop. That's all that was. I'm trying to get my guru on. I feel like guru sometimes does things so he can make that drop. That's important to some people.
At least Bonte didn't win.
See, that's why I'm hating on guru, because he's hating on me. Nobody likes to see me win. Why? Why? Shout out to YouTube and Twitch, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. Upgrade your savings dividend. Open a First NorCal first class money market today. You can now download the Odyssey app directly from our YouTube and Twitch pages, as we have added the QR code on both pages, the Xfinity Mobile text line. We see you. Shout out to our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call it to the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't, you will be flushed like Javier. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. By the way, the Broncos just released their new uniforms.
Oh.
Denver Broncos, new uniform.
What do they look like?
Never
come up.
They didn't go back to the old logo.
What? Why
not? The D on the helmet. You know, the D with the Bronco going through the D. Right, pause. No Diddy.
Wait a minute.
Oh, they look like knockoff Bear uniforms. They look like knockoff
Boise State uniforms.
Let me see. Let me see.
It's not good at all.
Describe them for the radio audience.
Well, it's their normal. You got the orange crush right there, but it's not like the old school. Like, I thought they were going to go back to like the white helmets, maybe with that old Bronco look, but it's more of like a new like college uniform.
Oh my gosh, they're really mediocre.
They're very mediocre, and they didn't change the logo on the helmet. They need to go back to the old John Elway.
What are they
orange
doing?
Orange crush helmets.
They do. The they look sky like Illinois blue jerseys.
Yeah, these are terrible. Terrible. Gosh.
Wow.
They hyped these up. Adam Schefter was retweeting them all. Now, the Lions redesign is sick.
Well, it's classic.
It's classic.
The Jets was classic.
Broncos down bad. And I mean, if we're going by uniforms and divisions, AL West is stacked. AL West.
NFC. I was going to say, what?
Excuse me. Not, well, AOS, they stink, by the way. But you got the Raiders, you got the Chargers and the Chiefs. This is really strong uniforms.
Why do teams make it so much harder for themselves? Just embrace the 1980s and 1990s jerseys. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I don't get it. I will say this regarding the Denver Broncos. These jerseys look like they belong in Walmart because they're now owned by the Walmart family. Oh. And these are not good.
Yeah.
They're not good.
These are Walmart uniforms. No, these things are mediocre. But anyway, 888-957-9570. Open phone lines right now as we are getting ready for the NFL draft. You got the Warriors offseason, the NBA playoffs. What was your big takeaway there? We got a roulette board full of just all Ryan Garcia, big time performers by him over local boy Devin Haney. It was tough to see the local boy get beat up the way he did. Got knocked down three times. The referee saved him from being finished. Should have been finished. He got destroyed in that fight. You got the Giants splitting with the Diamondbacks. They split with the Diamondbacks, won two of the first three games in the series, lost yesterday. Your boy Miller came in, gave it up after Jordan Hicks pitched well for five innings. So, you know, what's your mind? What's your big takeaway? Big takeaway from the sports weekend? Is it Ayuk trade rumors? Is it the Niners in their draft? Well, the playoffs? Are you watching the playoffs thinking, who could the Warriors pluck from these teams?
It's a variety of things when it comes to the NBA. There's a big part of me that's actually really glad that the Warriors got bounced when they did, because I do think that if they want to make the appropriate changes to be back in contention, those deals might not make themselves presentable, but like, they needed to lose that way, emphatically, because I'm seeing Warrior fans like, we could have beat OKC. Really, we're going to do that? We're going to do that? Come on, Warrior fans. Like,
well, they do look vulnerable, so I'm not mad at Warrior fans for thinking like that. When you have championship experience like the Warriors do and the Pels don't, Warriors are winning that game yesterday. If the Thunder was playing like that yesterday, Warriors are winning that game. I'm not saying they would win the series.
They got blown out by a team that got blown out. You know what I mean? In the Sacramento. The Warriors, like they look like the 10 seed. That's what they were. They look like the 10 seed. That's what they were.
But I can't be mad. I'm not going to lie. There's various points of that game. Like, damn, so Warriors are in this mix. Like, think about how well it's set up for them. No Zion on Friday. Pelicans, no Zion.
How are you doing?
You know what I'm saying? Like, because we're fans. That's what we do.
It set up well for them all year. And they lost games to San Antonio, Dallas Mavericks. Like, so I don't know. But that Warrior is like, this could be a big offseason. And when I mean big, I don't know. Is this the biggest in the Bay Area in the last 20 years? Feels like it.
I feel like it's the most tense offseason for one professional team in this market in at least 20 years.
Wow, I like that way.
Wow. Like, it is tense.
What even comes close?
Because what's close? Because
I was thinking like that Giants after losing to the Cubs the way they did.
2016.
Like, they needed a closer, but it didn't feel this dire.
No, it didn't. The Niners offseasons, they've had some offseasons where like, you got to get a player. You got to, like the Trey Lance offseason, for example. This past offseason was kind of tense for the Niners. Because you had to both hold out.
Yeah, it was.
We didn't know what to do with Trey Lance. We didn't know if Brock Purdy was going to be ready to start week one.
Is Trent going
to
retire?
Sam Darnold re-signed with the 49ers. Yeah. And we thought, oh, Sam Darnold, is he really going to have a shot to compete? Well, he did. He got the backup job. But for the Warriors, it is the most tense, I believe, in this market at least 20 years. Because you have sentimental players in Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and Steph Curry. So right off the rip. I'm at the family, Riomi's birthday party and the family there and all these big Warrior fans. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, Clay's coming back. He's got to come back. We got to keep our core. It ain't the problem, right? So you got that segment of fans. Then you got, what do you do with Andrew Wiggins? What do you do with Andrew Wiggins? Then you got, what do you do with Draymond Green? Then you have the people who are saying it's Steve Kerr's fault. Steve Kerr, the rotations. He don't coach well. Then you got people like my dad saying, the refs just got it out for us. They don't help us like that. We got bigger problems than the referees.
I mean,
the referee talk, it's whatever. So, like, people
refs
are.
Refs have it out for us. I kind of like, I'm here for that conspiracy.
No, but then also you got just the family member.
Trust me. I always have an uncle member that thinks that the referees are out to get us.
It's fixed, it's bought, it's predetermined, it's scripted, blah, blah, blah. And then you got the Kuminga Moody. They need to play Moody. Was Moody any good? Kuminga, what are you doing with Kuminga? Do you trade Kuminga? I'm watching these young players pop in the playoffs. Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Maxey, who was playing SGA last night. And I'm thinking to myself, boy, Chet Holmgren in the playoffs, right? Young players. And I'm thinking to myself, boy, what would it look like with Moody and Kuminga getting in more expanded role within this offense? There's all these question marks.
But like, it's interesting you say that because like, as I'm watching OKC last night, you know what I'm thinking? Chet Holmgren doesn't have to look over his shoulder and worry about a GP2 coming in and snagging his minutes. Chet Holmgren doesn't have to worry about his coach having zero tolerance for a missed bucket.
I mean, you're right. Trey Burke for the third. Trey Burke for the third and Herb Jones. They don't got to look behind their back.
No, any of those guys. And it's not, I'm going to just point at the coach. Other players, not tolerating certain extra passes and stuff like that. The one thing that I think the Warrior body language, as I look around the league, we had really bad body language this year, just in general, all of them. Youngsters, old guys, everyone, just the body language felt very like disgruntled. Entitled is too strong. Frustrated.
Nah, I thought the body language was a lot better than it was a season ago.
Sure. I mean, that was like all-time low. You know what I mean? But I'm just saying, like, in general, there was a lot of, like, I don't know. Just I see around the league, like, there's a lot of frustration around the league with calls and whatnot. I don't see the outward anger of not making the extra pass, not moving to the corner and going that way. Like, the Warriors, the tolerance level for movement on specific plays is kind of wild. That's what I pick up on.
I don't know about that. I don't know about the body language being bad. I saw a team that was upbeat, that was confident. They were confident. They thought they were going to make a run. They thought they were going to do some special things in the West playoffs. And the fact is, we're watching these playoffs without the Golden State Warriors. We're watching OKC try to learn how to win in the postseason. We're watching the Pelicans try to win in the postseason. We're watching the Denver Nuggets slowly but surely try to create their own dynasty. And look, the Lakers got no shot against them. As long as the Nuggets are healthy, the Nuggets are winning that in 4 or 5. There's no doubt in my mind.
KCP, solid winner.
I don't know. I was trying to look for suckers over the weekend. People who thought the Lakers actually had a shot in this series. I was looking for those suckers. Couldn't find one. Just trying to make some extra cash. I need to make up money with the Warriors. Not in the playoffs right now. Not to make it about myself.
So how do you approach a sucker and try to make money off the Lakers? I'm curious how this works.
You just eavesdrop. You just listen to conversations. Uh-huh. And you listen to the way people talk. Like you, for example. You're sitting there like, boy, I think the Lakers. I was like, damn, maybe I could get Shaq out of something. Maybe I could Maybe I could borrow one of his three houses. Maybe for the weekend. Maybe I could, you know, maybe I could find some.
They're going to win. They're going to win a game against Denver. They're going to win a game.
They'll win a game against Denver. They'll win a game. I had it going six, but I was, you know, listening to you talk last week. And you were like, oh, I think the Lakers. I don't know, P. And I was like, oh, maybe I got this sucker right here. Maybe I could have bet. But
it is a long shot. I mean, we have to acknowledge long shots. So, no, I think that the Warriors are in a good spot to sit back, watch what the rest of the league is doing, and make clear-headed assessments. When the season ends and the offseason begins right away, I think you can be a little emotional, and the coming down period can be very difficult, and so you make emotional decisions one way or the other. Like, you know, and I think the finality of ending a month, a full month, if not more, before the rest of the season kind of shakes itself out postseason-wise, I think it's good for the Warriors to sit back and watch. Because to think that they're close is fool's gold. Well, I think they're far away.
Well, these teams look good. Like, you consider a matchup against Minnesota. We're all like, oh, we want to see OKC in Minnesota. Those jokers in Minnesota. Anthony Edwards is about that life.
They're not jokers.
He's about that
life. But will they keep that team together with their finances being what it is? Can I get Nas Reed?
Why are you so worried about
that? Well, because they're already talking. Because
they just re-signed Nas Reed to a three-year deal.
Because the owner was supposed to sell the team to Alex Rodriguez, and now he's not, and they can't go into the luxury tax that deep. They're a team like the Warriors that is going to be facing some penalties, and so yes, they are going to have to get rid of some players.
You're worried about getting rid of guys?
No, I'm trying to see if I can get Nas Reed from them.
That'd be great to get Nas Reed. That'd be great to get Nas Reed
or Cat. I mean, they might get rid of Cat,
but
Cat has flaws.
Cat's a good player. Cat's definitely a good player. Talent has never been a question with them. But Minnesota, Nas Reed, we're not getting Nas Reed, man. We're not getting Nas Reed. Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great.
And when it comes to the Giants, I just think that they're, right now, they're trying to feel out what they are. They need a little jolt here. They need a good Blake Snell start. I mean, that's...
Lubman is sleep at the wheel. He didn't change the color of blue.
That's okay. That's what they really need. They need a nice start from Blake Snell to kind of calm the waters here. And they're gonna get going. Jung-Hoo Lee, I'm telling you, man, he's been really good. He's just scratching the surface on what he can be. But they need Chapman to start hitting. Chapman's got to wake up.
This is who Chapman is. This is who Matt Chapman is.
I don't think he's this bad.
He's a lifetime 240 hitter.
Yeah, but he's not even close to that right now.
Yeah, well, he'll get there. The averages get a little skewed early in the season. I try not to look at batting average for at least the first month because you realize that it's going to be...
Yeah, are you having five good at
five
bats?
Like, Chapman could go 5-for-5 and all of a sudden he's bat 250. You're like, oh, look at Chapman, he's bat 250. It's like, no, he's had a terrible season. You have one good game. It's like basketball. People told me the same thing about Clay last year. Oh, he had a good game. He was 8-for-9 from three. And all the other games, he's 5-for-32. You know, that stuff happens. You could swing the percentages left and right, back and forth. Clay Thompson, what's that? Boy, he's... I just want to go a show without discussing him.
I didn't bring him up.
More so Moody, because I heard it all weekend.
What did you hear? What was the general consensus on Clay? Not a consensus?
It was like 50-50.
What was it? What was the
comments? The number one problem. He's got to go. Then other comments like, you can't get rid of Clay. You can't get rid of Clay. So for the people who were like, Bonte, they got to get rid of Clay, man. He's awful. I was like, well, did you know he shot better from the field in the three-point lines this step since the All-Star break?
Well, I don't know if you know this, but I'm acting as his agent currently. Here are the pluses.
No, trust me. Clay got to break me off 5%. I'll get him $35 million a year, though. You better believe that. I'll sell Clay. I'll sell the hell out of it. I'll sell anybody. I'll get you paid. Now that I think about it, I should have maybe been an agent.
It's not too late.
Nah, it's too late. I'm not going back to school. I'm not going back to those classes.
It's all about who you know, Bonte. Yeah. You know people.
Bob Myers.
What could you do a better job?
There's your end.
What could you do a better job of? Selling me into Clay Thompson or selling me out of Brock Purdy?
Wow, that's a great question. I'd probably do a better job of selling you out of Brock Purdy. Because I would just use your words.
You're not hard on Brock.
I would just use your words against you, Shasky. Like, I gave Brock all the credit in the world.
He had a
great year.
Yeah.
But I'll never forget the first word Shasky told me out of Allegiant Stadium. It was about the quarterback.
Yeah, well, I mean, you saw the greatest quarterback of all time. You know, it's unfortunate. I am shook. If they played anyone other than him, you know, they probably win that game.
Oh, man. Oh, man. 888-957-9570. It is draft week. The wide receivers, it is loaded. Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, LSU, Odunze, Washington. We all saw him. He is special.
All those guys feel like they're top 10 picks.
Yeah, they say Odunze is going to Arizona with Kyler Murray. It's going to be tough. Donnie Mitchell, Texas.
See, he feels like a Niner type of receiver. This is where you start getting into these guys, because I had Lubman print out this little wide receiver thing. This is the if the Niners are taking a wide receiver, this is the area where they're going to continue going.
Brian Thomas Jr., LSU.
Yes, the other big. LSU guy.
The other LSU. They always got guys. Trey Franklin, Oregon.
He's an intriguing player, although not as smooth as Ayuk in terms of what I call separation.
I don't know if I'm feeling him like that. He's fine, though. Troy Franklin's good.
I actually like the tight end coming out of Oregon.
Georgia.
Keon Coleman, your boy.
Keon Coleman, Florida State. I wonder why he's so low, because he's so explosive. They're saying, however, the lack of agility in his game limits his route tree, separation from DBs. Those who love those alpha-type receivers would be big fans, but his inability to consistently separate means he won't be there for everyone. All I did was see him separate at Florida State. That's all I saw Keon Coleman do.
Well, I think one thing...
agility, he's their punt returner.
One thing, as you're looking at all these wide receivers, if they are going to go in that route with one of their first couple picks, they have to get a guy who can get off the line. The number one thing for the 49ers wide receivers, to me, the guys that don't work are guys that are physically not imposing at the press, getting off the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
If you look at Dante Pettis, who didn't work out, he really couldn't get off the line of scrimmage. You look at Danny Gray, like, just can't get off the line of scrimmage. I think that's the one thing. If you want to excel in this offense, you're going to get pressed. They're going to basically say, can you win one-on-one? Like, and that's why Ayuk has been so good. He can get off the line of scrimmage very quickly.
One-on-one. That's why I don't want to trade that guy. I just don't want to trade that guy. Now, Zucci Main. What up, Zucci Main? Saying Chappie also signed late. Give him a month or two. Are we giving Chapman? Are we going to be patient with him as we're going to be patient with Blake Snell?
Well, Blake Snell only gets, you know, a couple of starts. Pitching is the thing that is what spring training is all about. Yep. It's trying to get your guys ready to roll. So I'm a little more lenient on pitchers in general. But, yeah, both guys, look, they're both represented by the same guy, Scott Boras. Scott Boras did them wrong. And the Giants deserve some culpability in this, because everybody waited until the last second, both the player, the agent, and the team. So when you struggle right out of the rip, that's on them.
Yep. Now, this is interesting. 408, Xfinity Mobile text line. Would Carolina take Debo for the 39th overall pick?
I wrote down Carolina. They have no first-round pick. That's the one that they swapped.
Yep.
They have 33, 39, 65.
So that's
and
what
they need
asking.
To get a playmaker for their young wide receiver.
That's what 408's asking. Would Carolina take Debo for 39th overall?
I don't know.
Would you do that as a 49er fan, Shasky?
If I traded the 39th overall for Debo Samuel, yes, I would probably end up doing that.
39th overall straight up for Debo?
Yeah, because then that means I'd probably re-sign Brandon Ayuk. But again, I don't know how the money would hit the books because of the dead cap, so it might kind of screw you a little this year. But yeah, I probably would end up doing that. I want to keep Debo, but 39? I mean, 39, B, you're going to have the pick of the litter of any of those wide receivers at the top, and you can use that as ammunition to move up higher to get someone else that you covet in the first round. Because I'm looking at it here, I think they need to walk away with their first two picks, need to be offensive line, wide receiver.
Debo for 39th overall.
You wouldn't do that?
In my head, I'm just like, that's not enough for a guy who's that dynamic.
What do you think his value is?
I don't know. I don't know what his value is.
But 39 is not enough?
It just seems like I'm selling low on Debo.
I mean, that's a high second
round.
He's
a guy who's been an all-pro player. You send him back to Carolina to where, you know, basically he played his college ball right down the road in South Carolina. I know he's playing in Charlotte with the Panthers. I don't know. You take that hit, the $42.7 million cap hit.
You're not better this year.
You're not better this year, which is the same argument for Brandon Ayuk. I'm trying to run it back and get to the Super Bowl and win it. It's Operation New Orleans. It's Operation Finish the Damn Job. And I need to finish the job with as many, because guess what? You may have to see Kansas City again, and they're going to load back up. And they will be better offensively. You better believe that. They got Hollywood Brown now. Oh, good Lord. So I need more corners. I definitely need corners because outside of Tarvarius Ward, Diamondor Lenore, who else do I have?
Well, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, yeah.
I need a Thomas. Corner. I need a Thomas. I need a Henry Thomas. Exactly.
And that's who you have.
Dude, I need.
But they also have an opportunity. They have the two safeties, Jair Brown and Hufanga. Maybe they move one of those guys. I don't know.
One of those guys can't play corner?
No. I'm saying they might move one of those guys.
Oh, you think move them off the team?
Who knows? I don't know if they can play together. I'm not really sure. You know, we asked Brian Baldinger that same question, and he thinks that most teams are playing three safeties and that they're going to need a safety anyway, and that one of those guys will play in the box, and he thinks Jair can play a little more center field, but he still thinks that they need to draft another safety. A lot of teams are going to the three safety set right now, just in the predominant passing formations passing downs, that teams are in. And so I don't know. I don't think they have to choose between the two of them, but again, he's another guy that you got to kind of figure out what you're going to do with him. He's coming off an ACL injury.
Ugh. I don't know if I can move off the safeties either. I'm looking at Jair Brown and Hufanga. That's a plus to me. Jair Brown.
I'm with you.
Both. Yeah, I'm. They missed Hufanga last year. They missed him, even though he missed a lot of tackles. Using the word missed, but he makes plays, man. He forces turnovers. He's a ball hawk. That's going to be intriguing to see. I'm looking at corners though. All right, you get Diamondor Lenore at one corner. You have Tarvarius Ward at another corner. You got your boy Isaac Yiddum. From New Orleans.
We'll see.
We'll see about him. You got Darrell Luter Jr. I need a corner. So when I look at top five needs, and if I trade Ayuk, that's creating another need. That's, so I need a corner because you can never have enough corners. You got to have at least three in today's NFL. You need another corner. You need probably another defensive tackle.
Absolutely.
Even though they invested a lot in the offseason.
To me, that feels mid to late round, but I'm with you.
But edge, maybe edge?
No, I think edge is always going to be
Need right tackle or center.
Yes, and guard. I think you can throw guard in there, too. I mean, guard is the reason, like, that final play with Brandon Ayuk wasn't completed.
And so even with Brandon Ayuk on the roster, I still need another wide receiver. And that's with Ayuk on a roster.
And this is why I think having more swings, more bites at the apple is the way that I would proceed. And then you have now ammunition to move up in the draft to get the guy that you want. And we've seen that they've done that at times to be aggressive to go get the guy that they want. Brandon Ayuk was a guy that they moved up for to go get. And no one saw that coming.
Oh, hey, I didn't realize we had Color of the Week. We'll do that on the other side. Color of the Week from last week. All right, we'll do that. And then we got Color of the Week coming up on Friday. Friday show is just jam-packed. We couldn't do all our elements, man. People want to talk about the Dubs. All right, we'll do that on the other side.
I can't argue with you.
We're not arguing. We're just having a nice little discussion. Refreshing discussion about the 49ers and the state of the franchise.
I'm still not over it.
I can tell.
I'm never going to get over it.
Yeah, I can tell. Because that may be... I don't want to say it, man. I'm not going to do that today. What's going on with the game? Brought to you by the Order of the Malta Clinic.